His mercy endures forever. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God, praise God. It's good to have each one of you here in the house of the Lord, and we appreciate you being here this morning. Praise the Lord. I told my wife on the way to church this morning, I looked down and saw the little temperature thing in the car, and it said 34 degrees, and I said, I can do this. This is winter. I can handle this. This is all right. I can make do with this. Praise God. So it's good to have you here this morning. Appreciate the goodness of the Lord. And miss those that are not with us. We pray they are well. And some have called and let us know why they weren't going to be able to be here this morning. But we are glad that you are with us. And I feel like the Lord has laid a particular word upon my heart this morning for the direction of our church. And so I'm glad that all of our elders are here today, and all of you are here in the house of the Lord that call Elevation Worship Center your home. And for our guests that are with us, we just welcome you. And if you do not have a home church, we invite you to come and join yourselves with us. We just love Jesus, and we promise we'll love you as well. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Now, there's a few folks who's been with us for several weeks in a row, and we're just going to claim you as part of our own today. So you're no longer a guest or visitor. You're just part of the family, all right? But if you have your Bible this morning and you want to share the reading of God's Word with me, I'm going to ask you to turn over to the book of St. Matthew. And we're going to read a very, very familiar portion of Scripture this morning, St. Matthew chapter 16, and we're going to begin reading with the 13th verse. St. Matthew chapter 16, beginning with the 13th verse. Praise the Lord. How many of you ever heard the old nursery rhyme, "The House That Jack Built"? My wife can quote that thing. I've always been impressed. I've just never, you know, I'm like, wow, that's really good. You know, the rat that ate the malt that lay in the house and all that stuff. Well, this morning I want to title my message, "The House That Jesus Built." The House That Jesus Built. So St. Matthew chapter 16, beginning with the 13th verse. And as we read through this morning, kind of let the scene unfold in your mind. And when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Not the Pharisees. He wasn't concerned about the Sadducees. He wasn't concerned about who the religious were. He wanted to know who the ordinary common man, what the ordinary common man thought of him and his ministry and to who he was. "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man?" And so the disciples began to tell him the town rumors, the town gossip. And they said to him, "Some say thou art John the Baptist," and let me just give you a little preference with that. John the Baptist had been killed. He had been beheaded at this time. And so really what they were saying was, some are saying that you are John the Baptist reincarnate, that you are John the Baptist come back to life. Some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, meaning Elijah, and others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. In other words, the disciples begin to tell him that the rumors around town are that you are a great man of God. The rumors around town are that you are one of the prophets come back to life to speak to the nation of Israel. And Jesus said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Who do you say that I am? Amen. You know, I'm going to tell you something this morning. We all have to come to an answer to that question. At some point in our life, we all have to decide who Jesus was. He was either a lunatic, or he was the Son of God like he claimed he was. Amen. Jesus said, "But whom do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him and said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." In other words, you didn't get that revelation, Peter, amen, by flesh and blood. You didn't get that by carnality. You didn't get that by, amen, you know, some men telling you. You didn't get that by some revelation of the flesh. But he said, "My Father, which is in heaven." And then he says, "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Let me read that one more time so that we understand what Jesus is saying. He says, "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock," what rock? On the revelation of who you are and on the revelation of who I am. Upon that revelation, upon that foundation, upon that rock, upon that understanding, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not, everybody say, shall not prevail against it. And then he said, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And then he charged his disciples. Then he charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. And I'm going to stop reading right there. I'll ask you to bow your heads and let us pray here together this morning. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that you have given to us to come and worship. We thank you, Lord, for this wonderful, beautiful day that you have created for us. And this is a day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it in your presence. Thank you this morning, Father, for being here in our midst. I ask this morning, Heavenly Father, that you would speak to our hearts today through your word, that you would use me as a tool in your hand, that you would inspire my thoughts, that you would empower what is spoken through these lips of clay. Lord, of my own self, I can do nothing, but if you will touch us, bless me to be a blessing to your people. Touch me this morning and let me operate under the unction and the anointing of the Holy Spirit to speak your word. Let it fall upon ears that are touched of God to both hear and to receive. And I pray this morning that when we leave, we will be able to say that it has been good to be in the house of the Lord. Enlighten our hearts. Enlighten our vision. Amen. Lord, pull up our tent stakes and just stretch them out and enlarge our coast this morning. I ask all of these things, Lord, for the glory of God in the name of Jesus. And everyone in agreement said amen. Amen. The house that Jesus built. The house that Jesus built. This past week during conversation, I had an individual that inquired of me, and they asked me a question and said, "When are you going to start building a church?" And I responded to them by saying, and I quote, "The church is in the process of being built." They looked at me kind of strange and said, "Where are you building?" And I smiled and told them, I said, "No, you misunderstand what I'm saying." Amen. We have not yet started building a building, but the church is in the process of being built. Amen. Amen. I'm glad you get it, because they just kind of looked at me like the RCA dog, you know. Elevation Worship Center has been in existence for 2 years. And the first thing that I desire for us to understand this morning here in this place is that the building that we meet in is not the church. Amen. We have this lovely facility, amen, that we have been given permission to use. And by the way, I spoke with the powers that be, and we have permission to use it for another year. Can you say praise God? But we meet in this wonderful facility, but I'm going to tell you, this facility or this building is not the church. We could meet in a pole barn. It might not be very convenient, but we could meet in a pole barn on the South 40. Amen. Amen. Because we are the church. Amen. We are the church. And what I desire for us to grasp here this morning is that the building makes no difference where we meet, but we are the church. So when Jesus said, "I will build my church," he wasn't talking about a building. He was talking about building you and I. The word church that appears here in our text has a very specific meaning in the Greek. And the word in the Greek is ekklesia. And it means, to be called out. Amen. So what Jesus is saying is that we have been called out. What have we been called out of, Pastor? We have been called out of sin, amen, to come into his wonderful salvation. We have been called out of darkness. The Bible said to be brought into his marvelous light. We have been called out of bondage to be brought into wonderful liberty in Christ Jesus. We have been called out of eternal destruction and been called into eternal life. Amen. We have been called out. We are, amen, the ecclesia, amen, of God, or the church of the living God. We are the body of Christ. So when Jesus says, "I will build my church," amen, he is talking about building on us. In other words, he is saying, "I'm going to start a work in your life. I'm going to begin a work in your heart. I'm going to begin a construction project in your life. And when I get through with you, you may not even recognize yourself." Amen. Hello? We all this morning ought to have a sign hanging over our head, or one of them little pop-up bubbles, you know. Amen. That says, "Under construction." Amen. We all ought to have the sign hanging over our head, "Under construction," because he is working on us. Amen. He's working on us from the inside out. He's working on us. Amen. Changing our heart, changing our mentality, changing our ways, changing our processes to be more like him each and every day. I have been absolutely amazed over the past couple of years. Amen. Since we have started Elevation Worship Center and folks have come and joined themselves to our body, I have been absolutely amazed at the growth in the life of different ones, amen, that call Elevation Worship Center their home. Amen. I had a conversation just last Sunday after the service with a couple that just thrilled my heart and just blessed my heart, because they said, "You know, at one time we thought coming to church was doing God a favor. We realize now that it's not really doing God a favor. We need to be in the house of the Lord. We need fellowship. We need the Word of God. And when we're not there, we get hungry in the Spirit." Amen. We are just growing, and I can look around the body in different ones' lives, and I can see what God is doing in your life and even what God is doing in my life. And I can tell you this morning, amen, without a shadow of a doubt, the church is being built. He's working on us right now. He is changing us from glory to glory and from faith to faith, and raising us up from one level
level to another level. Amen. God is about to bring about some change in some hearts this morning. Amen. God wants us to understand that we are the church. And when he said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, he was talking about you and he was talking about me. Brother, no devil in hell can stand against us, not by our might, not by our power, but by the Spirit of the living God that reigns on the inside.
Help me, Lord. We got visitors this morning and they're going to think I'm plumb radical. And I got to tell you, I try to be quiet. I try to just hold it down. I'm like, Lord, why don't you let me be a teacher? Let me just, you know. But I'm telling you, I feel the anointing of the Lord. It just gets all over me. Hallelujah. God is working on the church. He is building the church even now. Amen. If you stop and just look back over the last couple of years of your life, you can see growth in your own life. Sometimes, the old saying, we're too close to the forest to see the trees. Amen. But, you know, sometimes if we just stop and take inventory and go, you know, well, I know what I would have done if I'd have been, you know, if that would have happened 2 years ago or 3 years ago, I'd have come unwound. Hello? I'd have come unwrapped, and I'm not the same guy that I used to be. Now, I just began to pray about it, and I said, Lord, amen, build our hearts, build our church, build our body. Lord, build the body, amen, that we have been allowed to minister to. And the Spirit of the Lord began to speak to me as I was putting this word together and preparing this sermon this morning. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me three specific areas that he is working on in us. And the number one thing that he said was, I am building your faith. I am building your faith. Okay, Lord. How many of you want more faith? So yes, put me in that line, Lord. Spill a double portion on me. But do you realize, amen, that our faith is made stronger by adversity? Our faith is made stronger by trials. We love the testimony, but nobody really enjoys the test. We love the miracle, but nobody really enjoys the need. But it is the need that brings the miracle. It is the test that brings the testimony. It is the trial that builds our faith. When Jesus said, amen, I will build my church. And then he spoke to my heart and said, I am building your faith. I am building my church's faith. I am building the body of Christ's faith. Amen. Our human nature, none of us like having trials. None of us like having hardships. And none of us like enduring uncertainties. But God, let me just explain something to you this morning. Our human nature would love to just have things run smooth 24/7, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be great if everything just always worked out perfect? Well, I'm going to tell you something this morning. Everything is not always going to work out perfectly. There are going to be some tests and there are going to be some trials along the way. And I'm here to tell you this morning that the trials and the tests have just simply come to build our faith. Amen. Amen. None of us enjoy uncertainty and none of us enjoy the trials and none of us enjoy the hardships that life have to offer. But I'm going to tell you this morning, it's easy to have faith and walk with a positive testimony when everything is going well. Right? I mean, when the bills are paid and everything is running smooth in your life, it's easy to have faith. Amen. It is well with my soul. But it's a whole nother ball game to walk in faith when the trials start to come.
It's a whole nother situation to have faith. Amen. When the bills aren't paid and the car payments due and the dog left home and the cat's thinking about it. It's a whole nother situation when everything that can go wrong did go wrong and you are left scratching your head and wondering what happened. But I want to tell you this morning, it is during the trials of our faith that are during the trials that come into our life that our faith is exercised. It's when we hit the hard times that we stretch our faith and our faith is exercised. And when we exercise our faith and come through victorious on the other side of the problem and on the other side of the trial, that's when we are made stronger in the Lord. Amen, amen. Pastor, do you have scripture to back that up? I'm glad you ask. James chapter 1, verse number 2. This is what James said. He said, my brethren, talking to us, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That's King James. What it's really saying is when you are tested. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, different tests, different trials. And he said, because knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. Now that word patience can also be interpreted as endurance. The God's Word translation says it this way. My brothers and sisters, be happy when you are tested in different ways, knowing that the test of your faith produces endurance. What is endurance? It's strength. Amen. Endurance equals strength, stamina. Amen. I said when we are tested and we are tried and we hold on to our faith and we trust in the hand of God and we lean upon the Lord and he brings us through the test and through the trial, it's on the other side that we can turn around and look back. Amen. And recognize that he has strengthened our faith and that he has built our faith. I said when Jesus said, I'll build my church, and the first thing he said to me was, I'm building your faith. I'm operating in their lives to bring some faith about in their spirit. Brother, I want you to understand he is building the church and he's operating on you and I and he's building our faith in him. Amen. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 7 said the purpose of these troubles, the purpose of these troubles is to test your faith, just like fire tests genuine gold. Your faith is more precious than gold. And by passing the test, I'm reading the God's Word translation, and by passing the test, it gives praise and glory and honor unto God. Amen. When trials come and tests come, amen, we must understand that they have come to build our faith. We need to look at trouble in a different way. We need to look at the trials in a different way. Amen. Instead of looking at all of the trouble and all of the problem, we need to understand that it's Jesus using those things to operate on us and to build in us faith that's unshakable, faith that's unmovable, faith that looks devastation in the eye and said, my hope is in the Lord. My strength is in the Lord. Faith that says, amen, the devil may have knocked me down, but I am back on my feet and I'm still moving forward with God. Some of us have endured trials and endured temptations and endured hard places and endured tests of our faith. Amen. But I want to tell you this morning that it's simply Christ building in us strength. Listen, I will read a quote to you this morning from Peter Marshall. Peter Marshall was a great, great man of God. Amen. That ministered many, many years ago. And this is what he said, and I quote,
When we long for life without difficulties, remind us, O Lord, that the oak trees grew strong in contrary winds, and that diamonds are made under pressure. Hello? You know what God's doing with us? I feel the pressure. I feel like the winds of adversity. But you know what God's doing? He's just simply making us stronger. He's just simply causing us to exercise our faith. He's just simply causing us to see the circumstance and say, I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I commit unto him against that day. Amen, amen, amen. So the first thing that the Spirit of the Lord, I believe, wants me to bring to you this morning is to understand that he's building the church, but he is building the church and he's getting specific and building our faith. Building our faith. He's working on us. He's building on us. And he is building. If you've been facing troubles in your personal life, understand that he's just simply building faith in your spirit. Amen. Sometimes we ought to be thankful for the bad things. We ought to be glad for the bad. You say be glad because it happened. No, be glad because God can turn it around and God can take that and make us stronger even through the adversity. Amen. Number two, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to my heart and said, I am building and I am binding and I am joining together this body as one. I am making you one. Do you not love the unity that we have in the body? He said, I am making you one. Amen. We are his body, and it is his desire for us to be one in him. The Bible said in John chapter 10, verse number 30, Jesus said these words, and I and my Father are one. And if you don't mind this morning, turn over to John chapter 17, beginning with the 11th verse. And let's read that together carefully. So John chapter 17, verse number 11. And let me just give you a little context to the scripture that we're about to share together, about to look at together. Jesus, knowing that he is about to be taken out of this world, he prays for his disciples and for his believers. And this is what he says in John chapter 17, beginning with the 11th verse. He said, and now I am no more in this world. I'm about to be taken out of this world. But he's praying to the Father and he says, but these are in the world. And I come unto you, Holy Father. And then he prays, keep them through thine own name, those whom thou hast given me. And then the very next line, he says, that they may be one. That they may be one, that they may dwell in unity, even as we are one. And then he picks up in the 20th verse. Look at verse number 20. And he says, neither pray I for these alone. I'm not just praying, Lord, for those that are here bodily with me. Neither pray I these for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. He's talking about us. He said, Lord, amen, I'm not just praying for these that are here, but I pray for all of those that will believe the word that they speak to them. He's talking about you and I. He's praying for us. And you know what his prayer was? Look at verse 21. That they all may be one. That they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one in them, and I in them and thou in me. listen to this next line. I absolutely love it. That they may be made perfect in one. How many of you believe that he wants us to be one? He wants us to be one in him. Amen. He wants us to be one. How are we one when we all are so different and we all have different lives and all that kind of thing? How in the world can we be one? What he was talking about was, Father, make them one in purpose. Make them one in vision. Make them one in their goal. Make them one in salvation. Make them one. Give them one heart, one love, one direction, one mind, one unity. Give them a spirit of unity that will bind them together and cause them to be one in me, even as I am in you. In other words, amen, God is speaking and saying that he desires for us to become one in him. And I believe with all of my heart, when God spoke to my heart and said, I'm building and I'm binding and I'm joining together and I'm making you one. I'm telling you what, there is a wonderful spirit of one and a wonderful spirit of unity here at Elevation Worship Center. When one sorrows, we all sorrow. And when one rejoices, we all rejoice. It's amen. There's no big I's and no little U's. I need you. You need me. We need the Lord. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about joining together and being the family and the body of Christ. Lord, make us one in you. Amen. The third thing that he spoke to my heart. Amen. He said, I'm building your faith and I'm building you to be one. I'm binding you together and I'm building you to be one. The third thing that he spoke to me was, I am building your future. Now, maybe you know that's in pretty good hands. I mean, if he is building the future, then we are in pretty good hands. We're all right. Amen. I'm going to tell you this morning, EWC, we have a future. We have come to the Emmett Valley to stay. If the devil had been talking to you and telling you, amen, that it's bound to end sooner or later, that it's bound to fizzle out, that we don't have a building and we don't have a place, and therefore somehow, some way, it just can't continue. I'm here to tell you the devil is a liar. Amen. We have a future. We have a place. Amen. God is going to establish this body in this city, amen, for his glory, that we might exalt him. Amen. We have a future. And my wife did not know that I was going to use this scripture this morning, but it was in the crosstalk. Amen. And I tell you, when she said, I just had Sherry put that with that word in the crosstalk, but praise God, that's in my sermon notes. Amen. Listen what God promises us this morning, because this is what the Spirit of the Lord spoke to my heart. In Jeremiah 29:11, he says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Number one, I am blown away that I even cross his mind. Hello? I mean, I am just stunned that I am even on his mind. But he said, I know the thoughts that I have toward you. Amen. Saith the Lord, that they are thoughts of peace and not evil, and to give you an expected end. In other words, to give you an expected future. Jeremiah 29 out of the God's word says, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. They are plans of peace and not disaster. Plans to give you a future filled with hope. Amen. That ought to be enough to just make, amen, I mean, the coldest among us just stand up and shout. Amen. God has got a future in mind for us, and he intends to give us a future hope. He intends to give us a future that is filled with hope. I'm here to tell you, amen, we are not a passing fad. We are not just a flash in the pan, but we have come to honor and lift up the Lord in the community of Emmett, and God will see that his church marches forward. Amen. He said, I will build. I will build.
I, not me, not the elders, not you, but I, Jesus said, I will build. Not might build, not could think about it, not will consider it, but I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'm here to tell you this morning that we are the church, and he is building our future by the word of his promise. He's building our future by the word of his power. He is building our future, amen, so that we might be a light unto those that sit in darkness. He is building our future, amen, so that we can share the love of God with those that are hurting and those that have been outcast. He is building our future so that we can sow the seeds of kindness in our community and be a witness for his name. Hallelujah. The house that Jesus built, he is building. He is building. He is building his church. He is building his church. He is building us. Oh, Pastor Gary, I feel like I've come through some rough times. Look at it. Look at it for what it is. You know, construction sometimes never looks pretty. Right? My wife and I, many years ago, in the 1990s, we lived in a little small 1,000 square foot home. Three boys. I wanted to add on to the house. I wanted to remodel. And I sat down and said, okay, I'm going to do this, 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 and I'm going to add about 1,000 square feet. I'm going to pick on three sides of the house. I'm going to take the roof completely off of it, put all new trusses on it, all this kind of stuff. I mean, just, and I had this plan. Say, all right, I'm going to build this. It's going to cost me this much, and it's going to take this long. You know what I learned? I learned three things. It always takes longer than you think. It always costs more than you thought. And it always looks worse before it looks better. Three things. I mean, you can write that in concrete. When he's building on us, it's going to take longer sometimes than we thought. It's going to cost more than we thought. And sometimes it's going to work, look a whole lot worse before it ever starts looking better. Amen. Help us, Lord. But he is building on us. He is building his church. He is building our faith. He is binding us together to be one in unity and one in spirit and one in purpose and one in vision and mission. Amen. Our mission this morning as Elevation Worship Center is to acknowledge Christ, exalt the Lord. Amen. Exalt Jesus as the Savior of the world. Our mission this morning, amen, is to bind together with one another in love and in unity and build relationships and encourage those who are discouraged. Our mission this morning is to build people. And when we build people, amen, people will build the building. Amen. I tell you, you know, would I love to, you know, move out of the schoolhouse and not have to set out all the chairs every Saturday and haul all this music equipment in on Saturday? I know Haas would agree with me. Hello? And I'm grateful for all of you that pull out that little wagon over there and put the seats up after the service, because that means I don't have to put them up. Thank you. Would I love to have a building? Yes. But I'm going to tell you, you know, God builds the church. God builds us and adds to us and brings in. And then we, in turn, build the building. It'll come. Listen to me. I said, it will come. There will come a day, there will come an hour when we will either buy a building and we will move into it, or we will build a building for the glory of God to house the church that he built. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you. Oh, Pastor, those are big words. I prophesy to you this morning. The day will come when we will either buy or we will build. Mm. we will either buy or we will build to house the church that he built. Amen, amen, amen. We can't have the building till he builds the church. When he builds the church, the building will come. You know, some of our guests may be nervous and go, I don't want to get involved in a building project. Oh, help me, Lord. Hey, I'm just telling you, hey, man, we're here to stay. I said, we are here to stay. We're here to stay. And we're not here for me. We're not here for, amen, my wife. We're not here for any of the elders. We're here for Jesus. We're here to exalt the Lord. We're here to lift him up. We're here to minister to others. Jesus said, I didn't come to be ministered to, but I came to minister, and I came to give myself a ransom for others. That's what we're here for. It may cost you something. It may look a little bad before it looks better. Amen. And it may take longer than we ever thought, but brother, God will build the church, and there'll come a day when we build the building. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I explained that to the individual that I spoke with, and they were like, oh, okay, I get it. I got you. Amen. Let me just share with you what the Lord has laid on my heart for the last several weeks about him building the church and us preparing to build the building. He's preparing the church, and it would be wise for us to have some foresight and some vision to prepare to build the building or buy the building. Whatever door the Lord opens up, that's the door that you will find me running toward. Amen. But I believe that it would be wise for us to make preparations to build the building or buy the building when he opens that door. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Okay. So let me remind you this morning. I'm going to close here quickly. Well, I don't know how quickly. You know, they say preachers get three closings. I don't know who said that. It was probably a preacher. But I'm going to try and close here in a minute. Let me share something with you. King David, awesome man of God. His kingdom was built. He had palaces. He had places for his chariots. He had stables. He lived in splendor. He had what he needed built. And it grieved him to his heart that the Ark of the Covenant dwelt in a tent in the city of Jerusalem. And David said, I want to build a house to house the Ark of God. And he prayed about it. And God said, David, I'm not going to let you build it. I'm not going to let you build it because there is blood on your hands. David was a warrior from his youth. But God said, David, I see your heart and I know what you desire, and this is what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to allow your son Solomon to build it. He'll build it. But you give him the plans and you prepare for the time to come. And so do you know what David did? David brought in big, large cedar trees. And he laid aside gold and he laid up silver and he put away all of the resources that it was going to take to build the temple. And he put them aside and he started making plans and preparing. He said, I may not be the one that builds it, but I know that it's going to get built. And so I'm willing to give of myself. I'm willing to plan for it. I'm willing to lay up treasures to get it built. I'm willing to put aside the resources to make certain that it happens, because God's going to do something. Amen. I'm going to tell you this morning, I believe the Spirit of the Lord spoke to my heart, and we have been here for 2 years. And I believe that we would be wise to begin now, laying up resources to prepare to buy or to prepare to build what God has. We have not as of yet had a building fund in Elevation Worship Center's bank account. As of today, we will. I'm going to start.
I mean, I'm going to tell you, that's a really tough thing for me to say, because I am not one to ask for money. I'm not one to talk about finances. You know, you've been here long enough. You've been here 2 years. I think I've preached on finances twice, right? And I've taken one special offering, and that was like the first 3 months we were here. But the Spirit of the Lord spoke to my heart, and he said, I want you to start laying aside. I want you to start putting aside an offering every month. Tell the people to lay aside a special love gift, not your tithe, but an offering, a special offering to the Lord. And when you do, they're over there in that little basket. Where's the basket? There's a basket over there normally on Sunday mornings. It's over there. I just can't see it. I see the crock pot. Don't put it in the crock pot. There's a basket over there, and there are envelopes in that basket. There is a line on that envelope that says building fund. Once a month, we're going to call it Second Sunday. Once a month, every second Sunday of the month, I just want you to ask the Lord, Father, what would you have me to do in a special offering toward putting something toward building or purchasing a building for the church that you are building? Amen. And I might as well tell you, I'm going to take an offering this morning, or I'm going to receive an offering this morning. I'm not asking you to do anything that I am not willing to do myself. My wife and I have already determined and made a pledge that every month on the second Sunday, her and I are going to determine, amen, by the Spirit of God, by the help of God, every single month, on the second Sunday, we're going to have a special love offering set aside that's going to go into the building fund. And let me just tell you, every single dime, let me narrow it down just so nobody misunderstands. Every single penny that you designate toward the building fund will stay in the building fund until God opens the door and we are able to buy or able to build. But by faith, I am stepping out and saying, God is gonna do something with us. Amen. We are not a flash in the pan. We are not, amen, something that's just coming to swing by for a few years, but we are here to build the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Amen. And if you want to be a part of that, some can give larger amounts. Some say, well, Brother Gary, I can't give very much. That's all right. I'm not asking you, amen, to give. You know, I give according as the Spirit of God speaks to your heart. Some can give largely. Some can give, amen, in smaller amounts. It's not about the size of the gift. Do you know that God does not measure the size of our offering? Can I take a minute to tell you that? God does not measure the size of our offering. You know what God looks at? God looks at how much we have left over after the offering. Can you prove that with Scripture? Yeah, there was a day that Jesus was standing in the temple, and the Bible said that there were folks that came in and they cast large amounts into the treasury. And there was a little widow woman that came by and threw in two mites. And Jesus said, she has given more than all of them. Now, how many of you know, in reality, that couldn't be? Because there were probably some that cast in thousands and she puts in 2 cents. And how in the world is it that she gave more than all of them? Because he didn't measure how much they put in. He said to the disciples, because she gave of her living. She gave of her very existence. He measures what we have left over after the offering plate goes by. Amen. And that's enough to shout on too, right there. Amen. All right. So I have delivered to you, amen, exactly what I feel like the Lord has laid upon my heart for this service. The house that Jesus built. He's building us. And we need to have some wisdom to plan to build the building that he builds for the church that he's working on. That's up to us. Amen. I'm going to ask, Andy, will you please come? Amen. Bow your heads all over the building this morning. Bow your heads. And I just want you to ask the Lord, God, can I believe in this work? Can I believe in this process? Can I believe in this work that you are doing? If the answer to that is yes, then come, be a part of that. Every second Sunday, plan to give. We're just going to take one offering every second Sunday and put your tithe in one envelope and your building fund in another envelope and designate it toward the building fund. But every second Sunday, say, Lord, what can I do? What would you have me do? What can I give? And then allow God to bless you for that giving. This is what the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me as I studied this morning. I rise early on Sunday morning so that I can go over my notes again and prepare my heart to minister. But this is what the Lord spoke to my heart this morning as I studied. It left me weeping in my office. He said, you tell the folks, do what they can do, and I will prosper the work of your hands. I will prosper the work of your hands. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, I have delivered what I feel that you have laid upon my heart to speak to these, your people this morning. And Lord, I am thankful for the presence of God and the anointing of the Lord that I have sensed and that I have felt here in this house as we have ministered your word. Thank you for building on us. Thank you for not giving up on us. Thank you for building in our hearts and building our faith and binding us together in unity and binding us together in your love. Thank you for a future. Thank you for a hope and a future that's bright in you. Thank you that you uphold us with the power of your Holy Spirit and by your word. And now, Father, I pray that you will bless this offering as we prepare to give and do our part to build the building and to get ready. Lord, this is an act of faith. We step out in faith this morning. And God, we acknowledge that we need your divine favor and your divine touch. Bless each gift. Bless each giver. Those that do not have to give, allow them, God, opportunity to give. I pray and I ask, Lord, that you will bless this endeavor in Jesus' mighty name. Everyone in agreement said amen. Amen. Give as unto the Lord this morning. Will you do that?